and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. The government of South Sudan says Riek Machar is expected to attend peace celebrations in Juba tomorrow.
Riek Machar confirmed himself that he's coming, and he's coming with President Omar Hassan al-Bashir. All the other parties are coming. If there are people who are saying that he's not coming, so far as we know, he is coming.
And activists are calling on the Kiir administration to care about families who have no food.
The funds dedicated to this celebration could have been used in other critical tasks, such as the provision of desperately needed humanitarian services and supporting the cantonment of forces. We consider this as some of the key priorities rather than throwing a big party to celebrate just the signing of the agreement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The SPLM-IO has confirmed that opposition leader Riek Machar is expected to attend Wednesday's peace party in Juba to mark the signing of the revitalized peace agreement signed in Khartoum last month. SPLM-IO officials say Machar is expected to head a delegation of his political bureau, military and security officials to Juba. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Speaking by phone from Khartoum, Pok Boss Galuang, the SPLM-IO's Director for Information and Public Relations, says despite earlier indications that Riek Machar would not attend tomorrow's celebration because certain conditions of the peace deal were not being met, such as the failure to free all political prisoners, the rebel leader is expected in Juba on Wednesday.
Mr. Riek Machar, the leader of the SPLM-IO, will attend the celebration of the peace signing tomorrow in Juba. We'll be leading a delegation from the SPLM-IO leadership, from the both military and political leadership.
It is the first time Machar will be seen in Juba since July 2016, when fighting flared up around the presidential palace between Machar's bodyguards and government forces, forcing President Salva Kiir's former deputy to flee to neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo. Aside from demanding the release of all political prisoners, the SPLM-IO had wanted Juba to lift the state of emergency and allow free movement inside the country for all opposition groups, along with a guarantee of Machar's safety. Galuang says Juba has assured the SPLM-IO that Machar will be provided security during the celebrations, but he says the SPLM-IO is still demanding the release of all political leaders and activists to show the government's commitment to fully implement the peace deal.
The SPLM-IO is committed to the revitalized peace agreement, and we would like to urge the government of Juba or the government of South Sudan to adhere to the agreement and fulfill the agreement in letter and spirit by releasing of the political detainees and the prisoners of war, namely Dong Samuel, Agri Idri, and James Gadet. So we would like this celebration to be a new chapter for peace in South Sudan.
Galuang did not confirm whether or not Machar will extend his stay in Juba after the celebrations. The South Sudan government has invited several IGAD heads of state and the African Union to attend tomorrow's celebrations. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe says some leaders have confirmed they will attend the event, including the presidents of Uganda and Sudan.
People we are sure about are President Museveni and President Bashir. The rest may not come, but they will still send in either their vices or their deputies or senior ministers to attend on their behalf.
Under the revitalized peace agreement signed in Khartoum, Machar will be President Salva Kiir's deputy once again after an 8-month pre-transitional period, which is scheduled to end in April 2019. Analysts have expressed concern about the level of mistrust between the two rivals, which is seen as a major obstacle to peace if the two leaders are to work together again. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio. In Juba.
Still on peace matters, some civil society activists say the government in Juba should not spend millions of dollars on a one-day celebration at a time where hundreds of thousands of people are going hungry. The activists say the Kiir administration should instead use the 3.5 $5 million to help millions of South Sudanese affected by the conflict. Winnie Chirino has the story for VOA from Juba.
Civil society activists say they are deeply concerned that the release of the political detainees was selective and that many women abducted during the war have not been freed. Geoffrey Loitiok, spokesperson for the Civil Society Forum, says that 3.5 million should be used by the government to implement the agreement.
We believe that the funds dedicated to this celebration could have been used in other critical tasks, such as the provision of the desperately needed humanitarian services and supporting the cantonment of forces and stimulating economic recovery. We consider this as some of the key priorities rather than throwing a big party to celebrate just the signing of the agreement.
Leo Tiok says civil society activists are surprised by the text in the invitation sent out for the celebrations, which says the occasion should provide the best opportunity for South Sudanese to thank their leaders for the commitment to restore peace in the country. He says leaders should be begging for forgiveness from the South Sudanese people for taking the country to war.
It's the leaders who created an environment that disrupted the peace of the people. Therefore, we look at the upcoming event as an opportunity for the leaders to apologize to the people of South Sudan for disrupting their peace and causing years of bloodshed and massive destruction to South Sudan.
Youth activist Gloria Giningo says she is not impressed by the government's decision to celebrate the peace deal when thousands of South Sudanese are still suffering in refugee and IDP camps.
Right now, it shouldn't be about celebration of the peace signing, but at least maybe after the peace implementation, then when people are really seeing that peace is there, then that's when they can really do the celebration that really peace is now in South Sudan. So why should we be celebrating the peace signing when we still have many people out there at the refugee camp, people who are still insecure in the country?
Advocate Daniel Bowe says when the country's leaders address the nation tomorrow, they should consider all the suffering mothers, street kids, and the hundreds of thousands internally displaced persons living in camps.
I want them to focus on the people and not the celebration of their coming together as the leaders. I want them to focus on what went wrong and how can it be fixed and how are they willing to work together this time around, because history has shown it. Security will always play the politics inside, and the politician will always play the dirty game later. And these are the two individuals who have had history of not working together.
The civil society activists said in a statement, they find it inconsistent that countries like Somalia and Sudan have foreign peacekeepers on their soil while they contribute forces to the regional protection forces in South Sudan. The activists also say they find it problematic that Uganda, which has been a party to the crisis in South Sudan, is being asked to deploy its army as a neutral force under the auspices of the Regional Protection Force. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
The South Sudan government is defending the cost of Wednesday's peace party. Information Minister Michael Makuei says the price tag is 7 million South Sudanese pounds, adding that the cost is justified because peace is what he calls expensive.
Celebrations for the peace, which was signed on the 12th of last month, is scheduled to take place on Wednesday, the 31st of October.
This is supposed to be the celebration of peace. Who is coming to the celebration?
The celebration of peace will be attended by all the parties signatory to the agreement. And this means the incumbent Tigono, who is organizing the event, the SPLM-AIO, the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, which is our, the other political parties in opposition, and the FDs. In addition to the invited guests, the Sudan government, President Omar Hassan al-Bashir will be attending, President Museveni will be attending, and all the other members of the IGAD will be attending, in addition to representatives of the AU and the UN.
I was reading that your government is spending about $3 million to hold this party, this celebration. The people are asking, where did you get money, $3 million, when a lot of South Sudanese are not...
We are not spending anything on dollars. We are spending South Sudanese pounds. The amount which will be spent is about 7 million South Sudanese pounds. It is a big function because we will have to transport people from the diaspora who will be attending will have to accommodate them.
I was asking, Minister, does your government feel that this is the money that is well spent? Because, as I was saying, a lot of South Sudanese cannot get two meals a day.
This is money well spent because the peace has a value. And for you to achieve peace, you must spend. So this is money correctly spent, because this is money being used to bring the people of South Sudan together so that they come and celebrate together, so that they forgive themselves, so that they work together for the overall interest of the people of South Sudan. It is an amount which deserves to be spent that way, because peace has a value and peace is expensive. So there is no way we would say that this amount does not need to be spent. We need to spend it for the sake of peace, because we keep peace for our people. The amounts that are spent are correctly spent so that we can achieve peace to the people of South Sudan, so that they can live in peace and harmony, so that we can look into other issues other than issues of insecurity.
It seems to me, Minister, this is like having a party and the guest of honor is not there, because we understand that Riek Machar is not going to be there.
That is what you think, but what we know is that Riek Machar confirmed himself that he's coming. And he is coming with President Omar Hassan al-Bashir. All the other parties are coming. If there are people who are saying that he is not coming, so far as we know, he is coming and he will be attending this function.
That was South Sudan's Information Minister Michael Makwe speaking with my colleague James Batty earlier today from Juba. The Anglican Bishop of Yei Diocese is calling on the rebels of SPLM-IO and the National Salvation Front to stop fighting in Yei River State. Bishop Hilary Luate Adeba says a known number of civilians were killed in the latest violence across Yei River State. Daniel Martin Friday has the story for VOA from Yei Town.
Local leaders say the fighting continues today in Mugo County. Noel Malis-Kirpas represents the county in the State Transitional Legislative Assembly.
The fighting was actually terrifying. The figure that we got, there were 15 civilians killed. As a member of parliament representing Mugo County, I really condemn this incident in the strongest terms possible, and I would like to appeal to these warring parties that let them cease hostilities, let them adhere to the permanent ceasefire agreement.
Malis says the security situation in several Mugo County villages remains tense. Mugo County Commissioner Emmanuel Taban says hundreds of men, women and children, particularly in one village where the fighting began, have been displaced and are in dire need of humanitarian assistance.
The war happened in particular in an area called Kenyira. It was between the SPLM-IO soldiers and NAS group. Yeah, and every day we register a record and the number is increasing. I can say roughly now it is going to 700 plus. The situation is really very terrible. It needs an immediate intervention, more especially the humanitarian assistance.
Taban says Mugo County is not a battleground. He's calling on the ceasefire monitoring body, CITISAM, to intervene and ensure that those responsible for violating the cessation of hostilities agreement are held responsible. SPLA-IO Deputy Military Spokesman Lampol Gabriel accuses the National Salvation Front of attacking SPLA-IO positions.
NAS moved from Mukaya to Mugo to attack our base. NAS is against the peace, is against the revitalized RCs, and they will continue causing harassment if we do not give attention to NAS, because we are entitled right now to our self-defense, because even our chief of General Chief of Staff, Commander-in-Chief, said it very clearly that we shouldn't attack any forces, but if we are attacked, we are entitled to defend ourselves.
National Salvation Front spokesman Soba Samuel Manas admits the two rebel groups in Mugo clashed, but says he has no knowledge of civilians being killed and denies NAS started the fighting.
When they said NAS forces on the ground attacked their base, no, it is actually them who ambushed this passing force, and as a result, this force reacted in self-defense, pursuing them until it reached their base.
The SPLA-IO also denies civilians were killed. Bishop Hilary Luate Adeba of Yei Diocese of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan confirms deadly fighting between the two groups continues and says civilians were killed in Mugo County.
Things have not been good for us. We have lost so many innocent civilians. Like we hear, 8 people in one family All of them are shot dead. How can somebody in their right sense do this kind of things? This is too much atrocities that people should stop doing this. And therefore, having said this on behalf of the church here in Yei and all the civilians, the innocent people, I would like to call upon the fighters to stop these activities forthwith. We don't want to hear any more killing of our people. Unnecessary. Let's have peace in Yei River State.
Chapter 2 of the revised peace deal requires the parties to respect the cessation of hostilities agreement and to protect civilians under their areas of control. Daniel Friday Martin, VOA News, Yei Town.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at what Zimbabwe's economic crisis is doing to the nation's drug supply. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the most important tool that you own?
My computer, my camera, my recorder, my phone, textbook and a pen.
The tool I really own, which I value, is my phone. Yeah, my phone has a lot of things in it, and I like it because it's easy to carry around. I can go with it anywhere I feel like.
According to me and my career, I have a laptop because almost everything I do depends on the laptop, so it's a very, very important tool to me.
I have my watch and my diary. I'm usually busy managing my time.
My phone. It's the smartphone. I've actually installed all the applications which can easily make my work easy.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment, and today we are talking about drug shortages in Zimbabwe. The economic crisis in Zimbabwe has contributed to the shortage of essential medical drugs, turning more people to access the medicines in the black market. VOA's Columbus Mavunga has more on the story.
For nearly 10 years now, Lena Lukwani has been taking 5 different types of medication to ease her diabetes and hypertension. The 77-year-old Lukwani says she used to pay about $50 for her medication, but says the situation has become dire in the past few months with prices doubling. She says some drugs are in short supply. These days it is difficult. Out of the 5, I only got 2. It has been like that for the past 2 months. So I've been limiting my diet, especially starch. I'm blessed because of the children I have, but that is not the same for my colleagues who are also diabetic and are hypertensive. Her 7 children living around the globe managed to send her medication that was not readily available for 3 months. Otherwise, Lukwane said she would have continued on her controlled diet or turned to black market for help. Shingai Gwatizo is the spokesman of the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe.
A lot of people try and take advantage of the current situation. So you have a lot of unregulated markets that are coming up. Those medicines are being smuggled into the country, and we have not tested them to make sure that they are safe. So in essence, one would be actually taking a risk by going to buy medicines from the streets.
Potifa Mwendera, president of the Pharmaceutical Society of Zimbabwe, acknowledges the health sector is failing to import enough antibiotics as well as drugs for ailments such as cancer, diabetes, and hypertension.
The drug situation is pretty dire currently. Our main worry is that if the situation currently prevailing continues, we get a lot more complications in our patients, and we might actually lose some patients. So what has cropped up and which is more worrying is the parallel market for medicines. We are now seeing a lot more people advertising that they can sell medications into Zimbabwe.
On a number of occasions, police and vendors with medicines have engaged in street battles in Harare, only to see the vendors back on the streets the next day. The vendors argue that they have no other source of income, and if the market has demand, they will remain in business by importing the drugs from neighboring countries. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
Still on health matters, a scientific study, 3 years in making, has come up with 25 simple, cost-effective measures that it says can reduce air pollution in the Asia-Pacific region and save the lives of millions of people who die prematurely each year from its effects. As Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva, the study coincides with the agency's first-ever global conference on air pollution.
The World Health Organization reports more than 90% or nearly 2 billion children under the age of 15 breathe toxic air every day. The WHO says debilitating problems associated with air pollution begin at conception and continue until adolescence. The report notes pregnant women exposed to polluted air are likely to give birth prematurely and have low-weight babies. A WHO scientist and expert on air pollution, Marie-Noëlle Brun-Dries, warns that many babies will have neurodevelopment problems resulting in lower IQs.
The fact that air pollution is stunting our brains even before we are born, the fact that it's leading to diseases that we may not be able to see immediately but look at much later in life, like adult diseases, our lung function and our respiratory systems are being altered during their development.
Dries says this can lead to chronic respiratory and cardiovascular diseases as well as certain types of cancers later in life. In 2016, the report estimated that 600,000 children died from acute lower respiratory infections caused by polluted air. It said the heaviest toll is paid by children in low and middle-income countries. The report found that the highest death rates among children between the ages of 5 and 14 from both ambient and household air pollution occur in the African region. The report says switching to clean cooking and heating fuels and technologies could save the lives of many children. It says other measures for reducing the toxic impact of air pollution include moving away from fossil fuels. The report recommends the use of cleaner, renewable energy sources, less dependence on private cars in favor of public transportation, and better waste management systems. WHO officials say the benefits from implementing such measures will be felt almost immediately. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move to Kenya, where the Kenyan Regional Parliamentarian Integration Committee has called for borderless trade among East African countries to avoid conflict between Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. The committee's call comes barely 3 months after Kenyan police officers were arrested and detained by Ugandan defense forces at the border crossing between the two countries. Maureen Odhiambo reports for VOA from Nairobi.
Conflict between the two East African countries has been long overdue, as Kenyans claim to suffer the most while in Tanzania and Uganda. The move to have a borderless trade on the waters of Lake Victoria came about after some Kenyans say they were mistreated and attacked by neighboring countries near the borders of Busia, Migori, Kisumu, Siaya and Homa Bay. Some Kenyans have died and others injured. Bondo Member of Parliament Gideon Ochanda says Kenya is committed to promote integration and that doing away with the borders will enhance peaceful coexistence.
Really, our role as a committee is to promote integration. And as a country, we are committed to the kind of partnerships with our neighbors. We want a borderless community where we are able to move from one country to the other. Our goods and services can move from one country to the other without hindrances.
A local leader from Migori County, David Chacha, said the locals encounter discrimination while in neighboring countries. He asked Ugandans and Tanzanians to embrace each other for the betterment of East African bloc. Business-wise.
We from the Kenyan side, we have embraced Tanzanians as our brothers and sisters. Most of the students, in Kenya at the border area are from Tanzania. They study without any interference, but it is very different when Kenyans go to study or look for opportunities in Tanzania. I therefore call upon the Tanzanian security officers and leaders to work together as one to better our countries business-wise.
Ugandan authorities have been arresting and detaining Kenyan fishermen at will, oftentimes without provocation. They accuse the Kenyan fishermen of going past the demarcation and venturing into Ugandan waters to fish. However, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni's advisor, Sadiq Mayanja, has assured Kenyans that action will be taken if the Ugandan Defense Forces at the borders will be found harassing and intimidating citizens from the neighboring countries.
If there has been harassment from UPDF officers, this will stop. And as you have been told and requested, let everyone who is threatened with harassment from officers of UPDF to communicate to the stakeholders. We do not, as a government, condone habits of extortion. We do not condone harassment of our brothers from Kenya.
Kenyans who border Uganda and Tanzania are yet to see if the committee's decision to have a borderless border on the waters and land will bear fruits. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Moreno Jumbo in Nairobi, Kenya.
That story from Nairobi brings us to the end of our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Ana Taban, which literally means in Arabic, I am very tired, by South Sudanese musicians.
Junubin, kul yom mot mot lamtan ya khwana. نقول سلام سلام متين السلام ده يجي يلدونا في هروب ونربي في هروب وكمان نموت في هروب لكل جنوبي يموت قطعة من جنوبنا بيموت نجري لمتين وليوين ندي يالنا وندي أرواحنا وندي دمنا فضل شنو تاني أنا تعبان
أنا ما شابان لكن أنا بس تعبان أنا ما فرحان لكن أنا بس فتران أنا ما سكران لكن أنا بس كسران أنا ما كسران لكن أنا بس سكران
Salama through the kuma kumya vijunuk das like kun hajam wasani my shufya binia bonjos yaba habuba hajan mabba vijunuka gabriya jua uzriya jua karehia jua gaba kapi jua fasan jua nagama hajata nan jua ooya those bunch of bg the baba's bazooka jerry jerry libitan juno being guide fi kapala nairobi u.s america australia spain hey ruku jadunia juno bc leo belatana thala no wisdom why sound the gun redundant like a head song I'm feeling so tired
anataban min jere jere Talgamala wata, talgamala wata. Usawa saka batna jian, anataban. Bashakil karabu bele, talin nur biya bapele.
Mot mot kuli yom, si telephone, junub tani na karabu, nina malu. Dom kubu, aku ya wakatulu, anataban, anataban, fishuno.
Anamu wati, junubi besi.
We have been listening to a group of South Sudanese artists performing the song Ana Taban, which means in Arabic, I am tired. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. Let's know what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Twitter. Our handle is @VOASouthSudan. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Let me take Mama Bikore, let me take Baba Bikore.